हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय Sri Chaitanya, this is Sri Paramatma Sandarbha, Adhyayana 4, Adhikarna 2, the Lord's actions are without hatred or prejudice. Page 44. Kapila has said, what I have described is the situation of the Brahman as the material world, of which time is the 25th element, has thus been enumerated. Kapila has said, what I have described as the situation of Brahman as the material world, of which time is the 25th element, has been enumerated. Time is said to be the Lord's personal power, prabhavam, by which fear arises in the jiva, who has contacted prakriti and is bewildered by ego. Here, the two points of time being manifested by Maya and acting for the Lord are established. In this, the chief aim of time's actions directed by the Lord is giving pleasure to the devotees, prabhavam, paurasam. The action of awakening the gunas takes place by time on its own. That is the secondary action. The first action is the real aim, the play of his surup shakti. The second function of time is the secondary form, included as a shadow shakti of Maya. Should be understood that the verse quoted above yo yam kalaha, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.3.26, refer to both aspects as one. So this is giving two, and this one is giving the previous one. Oh, inaugurator of the material energy, times which starts with second and ends with years, which rotates to make the lifetime of Brahma and by which the universe moves, said to be your movement. I surrender the Supreme Lord, the boat of fearlessness and happiness. Right? They're putting both the fear. Yeah, okay. And then this I've described as the situation of Brahman as the material world, of which time is the 25th element, has thus been enumerated. Time is said to be the Lord's personal power, prabhavam, by which fear arises in the jiva, who has contracted prakriti and is bewildered by ego. So again, we see primary is that pleasing Krishna, pleasing the devotees. He's pleasing Krishna. And by time, he takes care of the devotees. So over time, they perform actions. These actions then are for the Lord's satisfaction. The Lord being satisfied, then the devotees are happy. So the devotees, their engagement, their activity, then is for the pleasure of the Lord. But we see for those who don't act for the pleasure of the Lord, then time creates fearfulness, because then again, time goes, death comes, you have to change bodies, whatever you create, it disappears. So the whole point is it's about serving the Lord. So it's not about the permanence of things. It's about that in this situation right now, I am using whatever facility I have for Krishna's service. And then, you know, as the time element goes, its secondary feature, things disappear and all that. But the point is at the present moment of time, I can still use everything in Krishna's service, right? So time doesn't affect that, because the whole point is time is serving the Lord and assisting in the Lord's interaction with the devotees, right? Because it's action. So this whole idea that, you know, it's about the things, their permanence, like we'll say, oh, no, but that doesn't last forever. No, but your ability to serve Krishna at every moment, that lasts forever. That's the real thing. That's the primary element. The mechanics are secondary. See, we're so used to by the influence of the Ajnana Shakti, because of turning away from Krishna, that permanence, we're looking for permanence in the Jnana and Kriya aspects. But actually, you're looking, it should be in taking care of Krishna, that Icha Shakti. So Jnana and Kriya are simply servants of Icha. They're not separate on their own, right? Does that make sense? Like, you want to cook. Cooking is the principal thing. So there's a kitchen and there's utensils and ingredients. So now if we take it, no, it's the utensils and ingredients and the kitchen that's important. So the better quality that is and everything. But the point is if someone doesn't know how to cook, or if someone doesn't cook, right? How many very wealthy professionals who have fabulous houses and fabulous kitchens and all that ever have time to cook? Okay, yes, they do go in, they make their pot of coffee, you know, they might have a fancy machine, but there's a good chance they also just, you know, put that kettle on the thing that boils the water in like 30 seconds and pours it into their cup, right? Then you're going to have, they use the microwave now and again, heat up things that were there, because even the stuff they ordered out to, you know, it gets cold because they were busy. And and maybe a toaster. So that means they didn't need a kitchen at all. They just needed a little dinky kitchenette that had a few things in it, you know, basically a counter dedicated to something that makes hot water. A sink, you know, to rinse out your cups and bowls, a place for throwing your garbage, a microwave, and that's it. And possibly a refrigerator. Yeah, a refrigerator. So just some small thing. That's all they need. But they have this huge kitchen. So because it's thought, oh, he has this big kitchen, he must, oh, what such a nice facility, you must be enjoying so much. And the person saying that has the same facility, and they don't use. So that's the whole thing, is that this whole idea is, oh, if you have this, then you'll be happy. No, it's if you're using this in relationship, you know, to the Lord, then you're happy. Even on the material platform, you have something, if you're not using it, like if you have money and you don't use it, that's miserly. What's the point? Money sits there. What's the point? You die, it still sits there. You know, so it's use of things. That's important. But then you're use, and then how do you use? You use according to not just whims, but according to what your duty is. So therefore, the whole mechanics of everything is established by Krishna. And then you have a certain opportunity and certain facilities within that. Now you use those, you use the particular place and facilities, you know, according to your particular qualification. And then using those things according to your qualification, then you have, then you can use that in the service of the Lord. That's what everything's for, so that it moves, it's temporary and all that. The variety here is the temporariness. The variety in the spiritual world creates ananda. That there's constant variety, that creates the happiness in the Lord and the devotees. Right, being together creates happiness. Being apart creates happiness. All the qualities create happiness. While here, then, by the time factor, that fear is created because there's the separation. So, in the present, then you can always, whatever situation you are in, you use that for the Lord. Means if you can arrange according to your the time, place, and the circumstance, you can arrange to improve the quality of the field, the quality of your action, the quality of your intent, then of course we'll do that, as long as it's within our duty. But if it doesn't work out, it doesn't matter, because it's about the present where you're doing something to please Krishna. That's the real thing. It's not that, oh, we accomplished this. So, did you accomplish that to please Krishna? Well, they, you know, because I mean, otherwise, big people in the world are not accomplishing things. They're not managing stuff. You know, so that whole thing is there. But the point is, you accomplish something. What's good about it is you've engaged your nature to do something. appropriate. But having gained that appropriate, then it's about how that works in the Lord's service. How you're using the service, that's the present. That's why they think about the future. Oh, we will do this in the future. What are you doing now? We did that in the past. Great. What are you doing now? So like that, when you live in, when you work like this for the pleasure of the Lord, then it only gives happiness, because how can it give unhappiness? I'm doing whatever situation I have now, this facility or not so great facility, I'm using that for Krishna. Right? I have wonderful first class ingredients like that. I'm cooking for Krishna. I have just some, simple local ingredients. I'm cooking for Krishna. The point is, you're cooking for Krishna. That devotion you have for Krishna, you're expressing that through the cooking. So now if you have fancier stuff, nice, you use that for Krishna. If you have regular stuff and you're using it for Krishna, then fine. The point is you're using whatever you have. Otherwise, how do you enjoy? Someone's thinking, oh, we just have this. We could have had that. If we had that, it would be nice. We used to have that. But you're not even appreciating what's going on in the present, because we're making it that it's all about what we're doing, when actually it's not about what we're doing. So an H is an N. And an N is an I? Is that how it works?
The Russian Mara?
Yeah. Because it's just letters, and then depending upon the place, they give different sounds to it. So it doesn't really matter, like that. Because in the Cyrillic, they put one set of sounds, and the Latin, they put another set of sounds. As long as you get the sounds, then you're good. Okay. Does that make sense? So the being manifest with Maya. So through Maya, it's taken care of, but it's the Lord's arrangement. So even if it's through Maya, it doesn't matter. Krishna is controlling it. Krishna's taking care. So therefore, for the devotees, he's taking care of the devotees. And then you see in very special occasions, then the Lord comes personally and takes care directly himself, like coming himself and directly taking care of Prahlad Maharaj by coming out of the pillar. But otherwise, before that, you'd see he's, the snakes are there, the elephants are there, all that. He's taking care through time factor, through his material energy. But he's controlling it, right? Because Maya just does what he wants, right? He doesn't have to mechanically, just like if you say, okay, you guys do this, and they do that, who's doing it? Who's getting it done? You're getting it done. Just because the other guys apply the technical mechanics to accomplish the activity, but that doesn't mean that it's not going on by Krishna's arrangement. Krishna's giving the order; they're carrying it out. And if you're not doing things connected to Krishna, then Krishna's already given direction to Maya how to deal, so she knows what to do. She takes care. Right? Does that make sense? Thus, the word anugana should be explained as follows in this context. Just as anubritya means a servant who follows, anugana refers to the shadow quality of time which follows after its major aspects, prabhavam, of supporting the Lord's pastimes. So its main thing is supporting the Lord's pastimes. Its secondary is taking care of past, present, and future, and therefore action in the material world. Right, so if it's Krishna's pastime, you're Krishna's pastimes. So therefore, the time element is working, having a different effect than if you're not involved in serving the Lord. The time which influences the gunas is the second form, not the direct form which acts for the devotees. Thus, the word anuguna should be explained as follows in this context. Just as anubritya means a servant who follows, anugana refers to the shadow quality of time which follows after its major aspect, prabhavam, supporting the Lord's pastime. Did we just get this doubled? The time which influences the gunas is the secondary form, not the direct form which acts for the devotees. I mean, definitely it's an important point, but I'm not sure if the acharya originally doubled
it. Yes,
Maharaj. Prabhupada always wanted them in the Sanghatam to double it, so then. So it was. It's just the same thing again, right?
Yes, yes, Maharaj. Maybe okay. while changing the spaces, I might have double typed it also.
Yeah, no, these things happen. It all happens the other day. Riti, having proved that the devatas and demons attain success because of the Lord's power entering them based on the modes in which they function, the next Anucheda details on why the living entity can't perceive the Lord's power entering them, right? So the Lord's power is entering them. They can't understand, right? You know, as I mentioned before, is that the Lord's power of goodness enters the demigods. The Lord's power of passion enters the demons, you know, demon and passion, ignorance, you know, like that. So specifically the demons, it's passion, the rakshasas and yakshas, and it's ignorance. And so then through these modes, they accomplish so many things, right? So it's his power that's empowering them. Because we have to understand it's Krishna's world. It works under his direction. We misuse it, therefore we get bad things. You know, we can say, oh, but how does bad things happen? You know, the child is so nice, but, you know, so why is it when he dropped the glass cup, it broke, you know, he's such a nice child. Why does it have to break? Why did God make it that, like, but you know, everybody else that breaks, it's fine, but why it breaks with the child? No, it's just the way it is. Anucheda 101. Okay, an important Anucheda. Why does one not see the Lord's power when it enters the devatas or demons? Jyotir adhir ivabhati sangatan na vivichate vidant yatmanam atmastam matitva kavayo nata. The Lord resides in all beings, just as fire resides in wood, water in a cup, or either in a pot, but he is not perceived because of being mixed in the material bodies. The wise know Paramatma situated in all beings by inferring him through the effects, after discarding false doctrines. Srimad Bhagavatam 719, right? So you have to, you have false doctrines, you get rid of those. So then what's actually then stated to the Shastra, then you can see the effects there, then you can understand he's there. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say creation, that there is action, that energy is there, the energy is transforming. Energy has to be based on an energetic, that the energies are working in a very, how you say, systematic way. That means then there has to be intelligence applied to that energy. So when you remove the false doctrines, how, oh, life comes from matter, or it just came out of, you know, something was there and some kids light a big, you know, this really condensed firecracker and that, and went off running and that made creation. And, you know, all that kind of stuff like that. When you get rid of that, then it's very obvious that if there's Shakti, there has to be Shakti Man, that the Shakti is going, is unfolding in a very logical sequence. That must mean then the Shaktiman is applying intelligence to that situation. Then you can see him. But if you use false doctrines, of course, he'll be clouded and you won't see. You get distracted by, you know, the Dharma Artha Kama and Moksha, you know, or the Anamoy Pranamoy, like this. You'll get it. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita 4:10:41, the Lord says, know that all beautiful, glorious, and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. End quote. We have the practical experience of seeing that one person is able to do very wonderful things, whereas another cannot do those same things and cannot even do things that require only a little common sense. Therefore, how much a devotee has been favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be tested by the activities the devotee has performed. In Bhagavad Gita 10:10, the Lord also says, right? So that means here is that all beautiful, glorious, and mighty creations spring but from a spark of my splendor. So that means anything that's happening, we take it, okay, the dead matter's there, but then manipulating, that's me. But no, it's that your ability to do something, that's also coming from the Lord. That results are gained, that's coming from the Lord. People getting experience of that, that's coming from the Lord. Right? People have knowledge about that, that's coming from the Lord. So whatever it is, anything of value, right? Any quality, that's all coming from Krishna. And then from that, we see the transformations and wonderful things come up. You know, if we haven't done it, we'll say, yes, it's nature. But even if we've done it, it's still the same potency is working within us. Like that. In the Bhagavad Gita 10:10, the Lord also says, to those who are constantly devoted and who worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. This is very practical. A teacher instructs the student if the student is capable of taking more and more instructions. Otherwise, in spite of being instructed by the teacher, the student cannot make strides in his understanding. This has nothing to do with partiality, right? So as you saw before, is that aspect of partiality is that why is it he's got so much and he doesn't? The same thing is being given. All the students are in the classroom. All the students are being given the same information and same opportunity. But all these different students, they take advantage of it in different ways. And so therefore, one takes advantage of it more. And so therefore, then he advances very nicely and gets more and more knowledge. Someone else is not taking advantage, and so, or can't take advantage, so he gets less. So it's not partiality on the part of the teacher, right? Otherwise, yes, so, you know, you could walk in, first day in, walk quantum physics. Then these are, you know, some of the main core books that you want to work from. It says my internet is unstable. Does it sound like that? We're okay. Okay. So
it was red for a moment and then came back to normal mode.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can't see my one, but my one is. Where is it? Does it show it somewhere? No, it doesn't show. And so then, you know, goes around and then plunks that down on one kid's table. Right? And so now has he done him a great favor because of that? No, it's how much the child can take. Right? So it's not a matter of favor. It's a matter of you're giving information to all the students and who can take it, then they advance more. This says, okay, when Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam pajatam priti purvakam, dadami buddhi yogam tam, this indicates that Krishna is prepared to give bhakti yoga to everyone, but one must be capable of receiving it. That is the secret. Right? See, to those who are constantly devoted and who worship me with love, I give the understanding at which they can come to me. So to those who are constantly devoted, anybody can be constantly devoted. So those who are, then he gives that understanding. Those who are not, then he doesn't give. That is the secret. Thus, when a person exhibits wonderful devotional activities, a thoughtful man understands that Krishna has been more favorable to this devotee. So there's something special that's there. This is not difficult to understand. But envious persons do not accept that Krishna has bestowed his favor upon a particular devotee in accordance with his advanced position. Right? You know, we like to go on and, oh, who is he? You know, I made him a bhakta, you know, like that. And how can he be advanced and things like that? You know? Such foolish persons become envious and try to minimize and advance devotees' activities. That is not Vaishnavism, right? So we see is that, you know, we see so many examples. It's just a standard material mentality. Like you see the Avantipur Brahman and all these, you know, how you say local village punks, and they're harassing him like that. And then you see with Sukadev Goswami, then also the local village kids are bothering and all this and that. You know, the Mayavadis, you know, about, you know, the Vaishnavs and Krishna, you know, so it's just, it's constantly going on. Anything that someone does good, like you see in the political forum, let us say there's two parties. One party comes up with some nice idea. It's actually a very nice idea. But the other party will oppose it just because they're designated the opposition, even though it's good for the people. If it was about good for the people, they would say, okay, that's a good thing. We support that, you know? And then, you know, but if something that's bad, then we say, this we don't support because this is not good for the people. But no, if it's good for the people, they support it. And then, I mean, good for the people, but if it's not theirs, they go against it. Now they have made a plan that is against the benefit of the people. And now when they actually have the authority, either they have to switch to the other plan that the other guys had, or they have to continue with their bogus plan and then try to, you know, say, you know, oh, the reason it doesn't work is because the other party already made, you know, already messed it all up. So what can we do? You know, like that. So you see, is that this kind of enviousness and not accept, it's just standard in the world. So if we see it, it's not, we shouldn't be amazed or disheartened. It's just the way it goes. You know, as we said before, is whatever situation you are in, really nice or not nice, use it in the Krishna service, like the Pandavas. They're in the forest, they're using that for Krishna. They come to Hastinapur, they're using that for Krishna. They end up in the forest again, they're using that situation for Krishna, right? Then, you know, they're living as Brahmins and all that. But then being in that situation, they come across the Swayamvara of Draupadi and they act in the present there. Then now Draupadi's part of their team, right? So now then they go back to Hastinapur, and then in the moment, then they get into Prastha, then they do something there, and like that, they have the facility, they do the Rajasuya sacrifice, they get so much unlimited wealth. All that they use in the present to serve Krishna. Then the gambling match is there. Now they have nothing again. Now they use that nothingness, that position of nothing, to serve Krishna. And then when they come back, then, you know, now it's the time for war. They use that for Krishna. And then when they have their kingdom again, now they use that for Krishna. And then, you know, the time is up. Then they go to the forest for Krishna. So the point is they're always at every moment using it for Krishna, whatever it is. It's good. It's bad. It's ugly. It doesn't matter. You just use it for Krishna. That's then the present. That's why then the time factor then is always functioning. You know, that's the main thing, the relationship between the Lord and the devotees. The secondary is mechanics and how the modes of nature work. This is not difficult to understand. Okay. A Vaishnava should appreciate the service rendered to the Lord by other Vaishnavas. Therefore, a Vaishnava is described in Srimad Bhagavatam as nirmatsara. Vaishnavas are never envious of other Vaishnavas or of anyone else. And therefore, they are called nirmatsaranam satam. Right? So even anybody else, you know, someone is powerful, even a karmi, that's respected. Like that, you know, sometimes, oh, why do we have to respect? They're just karmis. But no, the point is this, it's Krishna's opulence. Like we see, Sanatana Goswami is respecting the Nawab because he has Krishna's potency to rule the kingdom. And so he's respecting that. You know, maybe that Jiva gets the benefit of that in that situation, but he's actually respecting the Lord. Right? And then when you have devotees, then, you know, so that means you're respecting the Jiva in as much as he did the karma to get that position. You know, so he's done, you know, things that Krishna has authorized. So then that works nicely. But then you have the aspect of for the devotee, that's because of their devotional service, not because of karma. So the devotee is respected because of his service to the Lord, and then that special mercy that the Lord gives to them. Right? Yeah. As Bhagavad Gita informs us, one can understand how one is saturated with sattva-gun, rajagun, or tamagun. In the examples given herewith, fire represents the mode of goodness. One can understand the constitution or of a container for wood, petrol, or other inflammable substances by the quality of the fire. Similarly, water represents rajagun, the mode of passion. A small skin and the vast Atlantic Ocean both contain water. And by seeing the quantity of water in a container, one can understand the size of the container. The sky represents the mode of ignorance. The sky is present in a small earthen pot and also in outer space. Thus, by proper judgment, one can see who is a devata, or demigod, and who is an asura, yaksha, or rakshasa. According to the qualities of sattvagun, rajagun, and tamagun, one cannot judge whether a person is a devata, an asura, or a rakshasa by seeing him, but a sane man can understand this by the activities such a person performs. A general description is given in the Padma Purana. Vishnu bhakta smito daiva asuras tad viparyayo. A devotee of Lord Vishnu is a demigod. Therefore, an asura or yaksha is just the opposite. An asura is not a devotee of Lord Vishnu. Instead, for his sense gratification, he is a devotee of the demigods, bhutas, pretas, and so on. Thus, one can judge who is a devata, who is a rakshasa, and who is an asura by how they conduct their activities. Right? So their activities, what they're doing, that's who you see. You know, so what they look like or what people present themselves like, that's one thing. But what they do, that's how you see. Does that make sense? You know, so someone is claiming that they're a Marxist and they're, you know, speaking and making a whole movement and all that, and people are inspired and people are sending in money and all that. And after they get all this money and all that, it means, you know, supposedly it's coming in to further the cause. And then they buy four houses for themselves. What kind of Marxists are they? They're a capitalist. But they speak because, so in other words, their capitalistic arrangement is to speak Marxism so that those people inclined, then they get inspired. So you can see by their action what they are, not necessarily by what they're doing. I mean, not by just sitting there, right? So you're going to see, as you see them themselves, you can't tell. The prophet says when they open their mouth, they're a fool, you can tell by when they speak. So when they speak, so okay, they're speaking this, but then you see by the action, do they follow what they speak? And what kind of results, how do they use? So like that, you can see by the effects. The word atmanam in this verse means paramatmanam, right? So you have to know atma means Krishna. It can also be applied to the jiva. So in the material world, because everybody doesn't know the Lord, then they always talk about Atma as simply being the jiva. But Krishna is Atma. He's the life. He's the spirit. And all others are parts of it, of him. The Paramatma, or Supersoul, is situated in the core of everyone's heart, Antaha. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:61. Ishvaras sarvabhutanam hriday share junatishtati. The Ishvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being situated in everyone's heart, gives directions to everyone in terms of one's capabilities in taking the instructions. The instructions of Bhagavad Gita are open to everyone, but some people understand them properly, whereas others understand them so improperly that they cannot even believe in the existence of Krishna, although reading Krishna's book. Although the Gita says Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, indicating that Krishna spoke, they cannot understand Krishna. This is due to their misfortune or incapability, which is caused by Rajagun and Tamagun, the modes of passion and ignorance. It is because of these modes that they cannot even understand Krishna. Whereas an advanced devotee like Arjuna understands him and glorifies him, saying, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. Bhagavad Gita 10:12. You are the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Abode and Purifier. Krishna is open to everyone, but one needs the capability to understand him. Right? And that comes about by association. And then in that association, you take advantage of that association. You take that sincerely. Then you can know, because we see is that, and in general, the demigods are the ones that have taken advantage of that service to Krishna. They see the importance. The Rakshasas and Asuras, they're not. But we do see those from the Rakshasa and Asura background who have, in association, taken advantage of that opportunity and become great devotees. So it's open to everyone, but you see those in passionate ignorance don't take to it. But if by association of devotees, they do take to it, then they come to the platform of, by action, you see they're a devata. Even though by their form or by their social position, they may be an asura or a rakshasa or a yaksha. By external features, one cannot understand who is favored by Krishna and who is not. According to one's attitude, Krishna becomes one's direct advisor, or Krishna becomes unknown. This is not Krishna's partiality. It is his response to one's ability to understand him. According to one's receptiveness, whether one be a devata, asura, yaksha, or rakshasa, Krishna's quality is proportionally exhibited. This proportionate exhibition of Krishna's power is misunderstood by less intelligent men to be Krishna's partiality. But actually, there's no such thing. Krishna is equal to everyone. And according to one's ability to receive the favor of Krishna, one advances in Krishna consciousness. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a practical example in this connection. In the sky, there are many luminaries. At night, even in darkness, the moon is extremely brilliant and can be directly perceived. The sun is also extremely brilliant. When covered by clouds, however, these luminaries are not distinctly visible. Similarly, the more one advances in sattva guna, the more his brilliance is exhibited by devotional service. But the more one is covered by rajaguna and tamaguna, the less visible his brilliance. For he is covered by these qualities. The visibility of one's qualities does not depend on the partiality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is due to various coverings in different proportions. Thus, one can understand how far he's advanced in terms of sattva-gun and how much he is covered by rajagun and tamagun. Srimad Bhagavatam 719 purport. Right, so the sun, the moon are there, they're very brilliant, but if the clouds are there, you can't see them. So it's not a problem of the sun. It's a problem of our vision. So if in the present position we're in, we don't have that inclination. But how did we get to that point of non-inclination? Krishna has given that position by previously not being interested when opportunity is available, right? So, but because of our self-centeredness and our pride in our own position, we'll try to blame Krishna for any inequality. But we're the one that creates the inequality. It's just like, let's say, you have two boys. You give each one 1,000 rupees, right? And then you come back after a month and say, okay, how much money do you have now? Right? The one boy says, I have nothing. So just now you have? No, for the last 3 weeks I've had nothing. Because he just went out and spent it and, had a good time. But the other one took the 1,000 rupees and invested in different things and stuff like that. So now he has 2,500 rupees. So now are you being partial because he has 2,000 and this guy has nothing? So his thing is, why didn't you give me another 1,000? He's got 2,500, so you should give me 2,500. No, I gave everybody 1,000. Now he's made that into 2,500. You've made it into 0. But people don't want to understand this because they only want their benefit and they're not willing to take the responsibility. Those who are willing to take the responsibility, then they can see I have to be serious. And so therefore they move forward. But those who don't, they'll always blame everybody else. You see, this modern thing of everyone being the victim, it's just trying to blame everybody else for your position. Yes, if the situation is bad, you may have been a victim at that time. But right now, to say that it's because I'm a victim, I can't function, then that's no. At every moment, you can act. And even if you say, oh, no, but there's an effect, but still you act now and move forward. But then if it's just I'm a victim and so therefore I can't do anything, then you unempower yourself. At the same time, you're expecting everybody else to benefit. One person gives you trouble, now the whole world has to benefit you. How does that work? But you see, it's because of that, then everybody becomes the victim. Who's going to supply the facility? Right? So that's the difficulty. Though he enters living beings by a portion of his power, people cannot discern him because he is mixed with them, sanghata. The wise, finally extracting the truth, mativa, by skill and discrimination, after rejecting what is not possible, that he helps and also fights the devatas by favoring demons. No, Vedanti, the Lord, Atmanam, who has entered the various jivas, Atmastam, by his portion. A supporting example that indicates the cause is given. They know him just as light is realized by seers. Right? So then you can know by discrimination, as we said before, by rejecting what's not possible. Right? Because people come with all kinds of theories that are not going to work. And once you reject those, then those theories that actually can work, those then are being applied. And then everything works very well. The meaning is this. First one says, this is not a jewel, because one does not see power in it. But by contact with the sun's heat, the power of the sun enters it. It is then realized by observers as a sunstone by its power to burn grass. The fragrance of air enters the earth, but then it is realized by people by its effects. Similarly, the Lord is realized by the devatas and demons by the effects. Right? So then the example is that you see, oh, this is not a jewel because this doesn't have any power. It's no brilliance and all that. Then you put it out in the sun. Then you see it has the power. It can absorb the sun to the point it can burn the grass. It's a sunstone, right? Same way as that fragrance has entered the earth, but you only see it when the plants produce the flowers and that, or after the rain and the earth, you smell the fragrance of the earth and things like this. So otherwise you don't understand that it's that that it's already entered, right? And so in the same way with the devatas and demons, then you can see where the Lord's potency is entered by who's successful, who's coming out, who's doing things. Or the example answers another doubt. How does this mean that he plays by his powers which have entered the demons and devatas? How is it detected that he plays with them? End quote. When form, which is light's expansion, is revealed by light and the eye, earth made of the five qualities starting with fragrance is revealed. When sound, the expansion of ether, is revealed by ether and the ear, a drum is revealed. Because it mixes with its qualities, it appears, but not directly. Though not detected by others as being present there, the wise know the Lord who plays by expansion of his own power, Atmasham, by his combination with the devatas and demons. Right? Does that make sense? So the showing is that you have the thing, sound, the expansion of ether is revealed by ether in the ear. Right? Then the drum is revealed. So the drum isn't directly, it's through the ear and the ether, then you understand the drum has sound. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Dhriti, Srila Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur. An example is given to show how, with the increase or decrease of a guna, the body is suitable to the guna, increase or decrease. Fire is latent in wood. Water is in a cup, and either ether is in a pot. When there is more wood, there is more fire. When there is less wood, there is less fire. One does not call this inequality. Now, you know, why that's a big fire, this is a small fire. No, there's just more of the fire element is present because there's a more volume of wood. So fire is fire, like that. You know. Similarly, when there is more sattva, encouraging to devatas, there are forms of devatas. At that time, rajas favoring demons decreases, and there are less demons. If the demons are suppressed and the devatas are the suppressors, one can say that the Lord favors the devatas and disfavors the demons. When rajas increases, then one can say the Lord favors the demons and disfavors the devatas. From the common viewpoint, this may seem like favoritism, but it is not. For when sattva becomes prominent, the Lord favors the devatas, And when Sattva is not prominent, he does not favor them. So the point is, it's just the modes are changing. And whoever it resonates with those modes, then they become powerful. Does that make sense? So it's there. Everybody could take it, but only those, the devikas, they only take the sattva. Right? The demons, they take the rajas, and the rakshasas take the ignorance. In the example, we can understand by our intelligence that fire resides in wood. Do we perceive the Lord in the bodies of the devatas, demons, and rakshasas? So this is a question, right? That will come up. By seeing the bodies of the devatas and others, one cannot conclude the Lord's existence. The Lord is not perceived like others. Then the point. Then how do we know that he favors some? The skillful people, Kavaya, know the Paramatma, Atmastam, by inferring through the effects, Mativa. They know at the end, Antaha, after rejecting theories like Swabhava Vad or Karma Vad, instead of Vidanti, there is a version with Vindanti, but the meaning is the same. Vidanti, Vindanti. Right? So you see the Lord through the effects. What is there? What potency is being manifest? And you know that all these powers can only function by the Lord. They're his energies and only under his direction. So that's why then when you see these things working, then you can understand what modes are powerful, what's coming up, what's working here. The Lord, favoring Indra, sometimes kills the demons in sight of everyone. When Rajas and Tamas increase, sometimes the Lord favors the demons and rejects the devatas. If that were so, it would make his equality perfect. The answer to this is found in another meaning of the verse. Jyotiradhi Iva means just like elements such as fire, which have the sense objects of form, taste, smell, and touch existing within them. End quote. These are visible in objects, but because of the combination, they are not clearly visible, though they are still present within. The Lord is visible to various degrees in this world, in the devatas and asuras, and he resides internally. Because of a predominance of sattva and not being covered by it, the sense object called form or color is perceived in the light. At a slight distance, we see whiteness and milk. At a distance of 200,000 yojanas, we see the white moon. This is clearly perceived by the eye. Because of the prominence of sattva in the devatas and not being covered by sattva, the Supreme Lord within them manifests as the form of Upendra clearly. Yeah. So then you can see is that they're successful and the others are not. It's just a matter of how he is, because he is supporting as the Manvantara avatar. Then Upendra is supporting the devatas. So when you see that they're victorious, then the Lord is supporting them. The mode of goodness is there. So he's not he's just bringing up goodness. They take advantage of it. When you bring up passion and that, they take advantage. So it's open for everybody, right? Does that make sense? Because of the prominence of tamas and rajas and water and other elements, and being covered by those gunas, sound, touch, smell, and taste are not clearly visible in them. Right? Because of the existence of some sattva with rajas and tamas, and thus the impossibility of being completely covered over, there is a perception of the sense object when the object comes in contact with a gross sense organ, but not at a great distance, right? So that means you can't tell. It means just because you see some object, you know, like let's say water, you can't tell the taste because it's being covered by the passion and ignorance. But because there is goodness, therefore the intelligence with the senses and the mind can perceive the taste in the water. Does that make sense? Like that. Yeah. Yeah, he says, yeah. Thus, an object with taste and contact with the tongue gives experience of taste, right? But if there's a distance, you can't. Just like seeing something, if it's at a distance, you can't see it. It has to be in contact with the sense. An object with sound and ether in contact with the ear gives the experience of sound. An object with coolness in contact with the skin gives the sensation of touch. A fragrant object in the air in contact with the nose gives the experience of smell. So that able to get that experience, that's then the aspect of goodness. So we see is the mind is able to appreciate that. The intelligence can tell that there's some difference in all these things. You know, so there's something there, it's acting, but it's the mind that's actually perceiving it. You know, so that's why the mind's in goodness and the intelligence is in passion. Because the passion, it gets something, accomplishes something. Similarly, because the predominance of rajas and tamas in the demons and rakshasas, and being covered by those gunas, the Lord within them is not clearly seen as favoring them. If the sun is covered by clouds and not by sunshine, then it is not very visible. If it is not covered by clouds and is covered with sunshine, it is very visible. Similarly, if the Lord is covered by tamas, then he is not visible. If he is covered by sattva, he is visible. Quote, well, with lack of clear perception of the Lord's partiality to the demons, how can we know he exists? End quote. The wise understand its existence by seeing the effects, such as the devatas being defeated. Sardartha Darshani 719. So they know is the Lord's present because of that, because his potency is what makes it all work. That's the whole thing, is we're thinking I'm the doer and all that, and I'm independent and all this energy, I'm making it all happen. But the point is you can't do anything. You know, you can't build a house out of bricks if bricks don't have the ability to hold up the weight for making a house, you know, and don't have the strength to stay in one position, right? If you take an equal weight of water, you can't make a house, right? Unless, of course, you're in northern Norway and then they make hotels. But, you know, does that make sense? Yeah. So, yeah. So these kind of aspects is that one has to understand is that, no, the Lord's in everything because the potency, all vibhutis are his. And so when you see it manifesting, now what will manifest where, that will depend upon the mode. So depending on what modes the particular living entities are under, then as the modes are constantly changing, and that whichever one they come up prominent, then those will have goodness prominent, then they'll prosper. When passion comes up, then those will prosper. Ignorance comes up, they'll prosper. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say you have all kinds of living entities there. And so they're all hungry. So let's say I bring a bundle of grass. Okay, now the horses, cows, and, you know, goats will be chewing on it. We won't be chewing on it. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole thing, is you bring about whatever is going to work for the different living entity. Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, then it's just going to be is that according to the living entity that's there, they take advantage of that situation, right? The cows will be happy. The dogs aren't eating the grass. The lions aren't eating the grass. So that's the whole thing, is that it's, everything is there. It's just as the modes change and different living entities can take advantage of the situation. So according to, you know, the overall, how, you know, the laws of nature, what is going on and what's happened, the people's karma, therefore the modes unfold in different ways. And then they take advantage or disadvantage by the situation that comes up. Does that make any sense? Yeah. Vritti, having explained that the demigods, demons, and rakshasas become successful because of the Lord's potency in the form of time favoring them, a doubt may arise whether the Lord's actions are constrained by the potency of time. Right? Because you're saying that time is doing this. Right? you know, we said before, so is Krishna constrained by time? Is he controlled by that? Only how much time can do, then he can do what he likes. The next few Anuchedas elucidate that the Lord is personally involved only in interaction with his devotees, even during the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the universe. And thus the potency of time restricts only the actions of material energy and not the Lord, because he doesn't deal with it. He's given the power for it, and therefore it goes. He personally only deals with the devotees, and that's the main point of time, right? So in other words, time, its secondary feature is working with material energy and making everything there. But you can understand the Lord's presence, but, you know, it's through his energies. With his devotees, then he deals directly. So then you see is all these nice pastimes unfolding that the Lord himself personally is taking part. Anucheda 102. The goal of the Lord's pastimes of fighting is pleasure for the devotees. Protecting the universe is also accomplished by that. Having said this, in order to remove all doubts concerning creation and destruction, and glancing at Prakriti, he speaks, describing three functions together. Right, so his fighting, he gives pleasure to the devotees. At the same time as the secondary, it takes care of the order of the material world. So he's acting for the pleasure of the devotees, nothing else. But that action still gives benefit for the law and order of the universe. Yada shishrikshu pura atmanav paro raja shrijat yesha pritak sva mayaya. Sadvam vichitrasu ri ram shur ishvaras shayish yamanas tama ira yat yasau. When the Lord glances to manifest devotees by his mercy, he awakens rajas different from his rupsak shakti. When he desires to have pastimes with the devotees, he manifests sattva. When he desires to sleep after meeting the devotees, he inspires tamas. Right. So when you're creating the situations in which things can be manifest, you know, the individual persons and all this, then when he manifests the devotees for pastimes, Then as a side thing, rajas becomes. When he interacts with those devotees, then sattva is produced. When he takes rest, then tamas is produced. So in other words, he deals directly with the devotees on the platform of Vishuddha sattva, but those activities create in the material world. Does that make sense? So that's why you see is that the effects of his potency, you know, of the sat, chit, and ananda, then interacting with the devotees just creates bliss, right? But in the material world, then it creates the three modes that give the different flavors for the different individuals. So everything's coming from Krishna. So that makes sense. So the pastimes of the original, you know, we're looking here and, oh, also that's, you know, there in the pastime and that. You can see now he's starting to switch it. You know, that's just been going on all this time as he's slowly switching. From the he's always giving the the deductive perception, but he's bringing us gradually through our inductive way of thinking up to the point where now we start to see in a deductive way. We may just be beginning to see deductive. We're not looking at deductive from the platform of prema, but we start to see how that works, how the Krishnas and everything, it all happens by him. He's the origin. It doesn't come from here, because as soon as that's there and everything happens, then its importance is simply its value connected to Krishna. Yeah. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.1.10. When at the time of acting, the Supreme Lord, Paraha, desires to create his spiritual abodes, Atmanath Puraha, Sadaka devotees from the previous creation. And he glances by his mercy, Swa Mayaya, in order to manifest them since they had merged with Prakriti. His Jiva Maya Shakti, Asau, different Pritak from his Sarup Shakti, enlivened by the shadow of his power of action, time creates Rajas. This means Maya ejects or awakens Jivas from the Avyakta, the equilibrium of the three gunas, which has arisen from the Lord's Amsha, or time, Asau, which is separate Pritak, obedient to Maya, creates Rajas. Asau also refers to time in this interpretation. So therefore, when the Lord wants to again awaken, so for in his mind, the creation, when he glances, is to awaken everything again and bring out the devotees so that they'll have their forms and all the situations and everything. In other words, the whole Mahatattva is there, but this in this case, the sutra aspect is they're wanting to please the Lord through service. But in that process of that whole thing, the mode of passion is produced also, which then works for those who are not devotees. Does that make sense? So time then we see is working for Krishna in its relationship with the devotees, and in the second feature then as being subservient to Maya, and how the whole avyakta comes manifest one by one, and then all the situations are created so that you can, therefore the Lord can have pastimes with the devotees. But the same situation can happen for the non-devotees. So non-devotees are thinking this is their place, but actually no, it's the place for the Lord and the devotees. So in other words, this world is for serving the Lord. So therefore the devotees serve and they're transcendental to the modes of nature. But those who are not serving the Lord, they then, in trying to transform and make things, they're affected by the mode of passion. Does that make sense? Yeah. When the Lord is... Yes.
So any other activities happening in the material world should always be seen in this context of like how mode of goodness is for performing pastimes, passion is that Lord awakens that, the beginning of the pastimes happen because the Lord awakens.
Yeah, means the facilities for the pastimes, the mechanics of the pastimes.
Yeah. And the then when he wants to rest,
I mean, it's the mood. Yes.
And he wants to rest, then the mode of ignorance is prominent. So basically, all other activities happening in the material world, where we see some ignorance prominent or passion prominent, so should we see in this context? And
because yes, means the whole thing is because what does ignorance mean? You're asleep. So ignorance means you're asleep to your relationship with the Lord. Passion means you're trying to create things so that you can enjoy them. Goodness means you're performing your natural duties according to your natural character, right? Because you can say it's the past, because what are the devotees doing? They're serving Krishna according to their position as servant of the Lord, right? They're eternal servants. So as jivas, this is their natural position to serve. And Krishna's natural position is to reciprocate how anybody interacts with him. Right, so everybody's acting according to their nature, right? You know, and doing approved activities, you know, like that. So this is all. So by tattva, you can explain everything like this, but in rasa, this is all spontaneous, right? Unless, of course, their taste in serving the Lord is within the context of majesty, and so then that formal being aware of the formal order of the tattva of rasa and activities, therefore then they formally go through it, and that has its own particular taste. You know, like we see Ramachandra, his the flavor he is tasting is maryada, you know, or being dutiful, following the rules, doing everything very nicely. So then that aspect is seen there, right? So that's actually the basis of it. And then here, as we identify with the material energy and all that, then you see is that we may be affected a bit by rajas, and so we identify with this and that and do to do this and that. Because I'm identifying with it for what purpose? Right? If I say, okay, I'm born in a Brahmin family, so I'm a Brahmin, what's my purpose? Right? I want to get the benefits that come from being in a Brahmin family. That I think I am a Brahmin because I'm born in that family. Of course, that's ignorance, because then you're identifying with dead matter. But what's being shown here, these are the active principles. Right? And then you have so many details. Because it's unlimited how fine it can go and how sophisticated is the whole development. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that aspect is there, is that we must appreciate that for the Lord interacting in pastimes with the devotees to please the devotees, and the devotees interacting in pastimes to please the Lord, that is the central point of the whole cosmos. In the spiritual world, because everyone's doing that, you don't have to have the secondary feature, controlling anybody. Does that make sense? You know, so there's not a distraction by that. But in the material world, because they don't want to see the Lord, therefore, since they're not dealing with the primary aspect, which is the Lord interacting with the devotees, then they will deal with the secondary aspect, which will be the mechanics of how you work with the exterior energy to try to enjoy the senses. But even though they're following the same principle, right? Like I said, by goodness, I can know and all that, but by goodness, it's supposed to be the pastime. So that means in goodness, that means the proper use of goodness is the sense of smell is used for the Lord's service. The sense of taste is used for the Lord's service. The sense of sight is used for the Lord's service. The sense of sound is used for the Lord's service. Right? You know, and then because it's used for the Lord's service, it's pure sattva. But if you don't use it for the Lord's service, it's just sattva. Right. Does that make sense? So it can apply in so many ways, but you're starting here is the core aspect. When you're starting from the top down, this is where it starts, because it starts from the icha. We tend to start on the other end, the place. I get the place right, then everything will be perfect. You know, it's just like someone's living in some place and, they arrange a new place. And they think, oh, yeah, when I'll be there, it'll be fabulous and this and that, because now they just go on with their regular daily duties. They move into the new place for, some days, some weeks or some time. They'll be thinking, yeah, this is great. But then it just comes to the point where they're just doing their duties as normal. The room is bigger. You have to walk, more steps to get to the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? You know, the remote is farther away. The refrigerator is farther away. But in the beginning, oh, such nice space and all that, but the other thing, it's like, can you hand me the remote? So they're missing the point. It's all about the relationship of the Lord and the devotees. As a side thing, then all these other, the mechanics of the energies are all there. In the spiritual world, then there's no, they don't, they're in line with, in harmony with, the Lord and the devotees, all the energies are in harmony with one another. But in the material world, because they can all be balanced by the Achintya Shakti. But when you come into the material world, then all these different modes, one's going to be prominent, they're not. That's why it says the demigods are winning or the demons are winning. Right? It doesn't say they're both winning. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's how it goes. You can't both. So then you have that promise, because it's not reconciled here, because we've accepted a principle of duality. It's not in connection with the Lord. So when our idea to please the Lord and the Lord's the idea to please the devotees, that combined together, then that oneness there, and then everything that's there is used in connection with Krishna. I see myself, the situation, my activities, the results, the experiences, all in connection with Krishna, that oneness, then that holds